The scripture reading for today is from Ephesians 4, 1 through 8. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye may walk worthy of the vocation where ye are called, with the lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. The Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given a grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men.
Amen. It's good to see each of your faces this week, and it's good to be in God's house. God says, of all things, my house shall be called a house of prayer. How many of you prayed since you came in this morning? Amen. I have some witnesses. It's always good to say those silent prayers when you come in. No one needs to hear you pray except God. You can come in and pray quietly and have a time of meditation with God, because God is present everywhere, but he's present in a very special way here at church. Because this is the appointed place where we meet up with God on a Sabbath morning with like fellow believers and have a time of fellowship together. It's good to be in God's house. And like you see in your bulletin, what are we talking about today for the message? The main message at the divine hour. What are we talking about today? Spiritual gifts. Going out. Going home. And this past Thursday we had a good time. You know, we went out to the first arena where we had our outreach, and praise God, four new people signed up for a cooking school. And that's a great place to start, because we know as Seventh-day Adventists that taking a preventative approach to health is always the best way to go. Amen? Amen. Protect it from getting broken, and then you don't have to do too much about getting it well again. Preventative approach to health is always the best. And the health message is the right arm to the three angels' messages. How many of you have a right arm? Raise your right arm if you have one. Right arm. All right. How would you feel to lose your right arm? Would it be good for you? I don't want to lose any arm for that matter, but especially the right one. Yes, especially the right one, since I am right-handed. But I think we have a lefty here. Are you a lefty, Gary? No? You're a lefty. All right, we have a lefty. The Benjamites are here. There's another lefty. We have two Benjamites here. You know, that was a tribe that was known in the Bible for being left-handed. Bible said they could sling at a hair's breadth and not miss. They were marked men, marksmen, and marked women. The Benjamites, yes. It's amazing, these little Bible facts. Yes, I like the Bible. It really brings life and energy to our literal life here on earth. So today we're talking about spiritual gifts. Going out, going home. And this Thursday, a number of us were able to exercise some of our spiritual gifts in a new setting. For the first time, I think most all of us, probably excepting Derek, it was the first time we all set foot in that first arena. And we were able to reach some individuals. We wish there were more people, but praise God, we did what we could to reach who we could. And four people signed up for a cooking school. And so at board meeting this Monday night, we'll be looking at hosting a cooking school, because we want to honor those requests. Amen? And I know there are others of you here who would like to participate in that cooking school, learning to cook healthy meal. And we have a retired master chef that is on his way here. In a week and a half, I'll go pick him up in Albany. And he'll come and he'll spend some considerable time with us doing a cooking school in Binghamton. Then he's going to do one down in Sayre. We're going to do three weekends back-to-back at Tioga County Church, and I think Elmira is due to do one here as well. We'll look at it more at board meeting this coming Monday night. This coming Monday night at board meeting. How many of you are homesick? All right, I got two, three hands. Where are you homesick for? Ginger. Oh, I like that. I like that. I think we can have the benediction and go home. Amen? We should be homesick for heaven. We should be homesick. And I believe that you have heard sermons about things we can do to hurry up Christ's return. You've heard some of those sermons, right? Amen. But do you believe we can do that? Do you actually believe that? Do you believe we can hasten Christ's return? I believe it's time for each believer to think seriously about the concept of going home. We tend to wait until things get bad before we express or experience any longing for heaven. Most of the times when things are going good, well, we don't think about heaven too much. But when things get really bad, that's the times we tend to think more about being homesick for heaven. But I'm kind of homesick for a country that hosts the eternal city of God. And Peter rightly said, our first text today, 2 Peter chapter 3. I'd like you to open your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to look at verses 10 through to 12. 2 Peter chapter 3. Hebrew, James, Peter, the second one. 2 Peter chapter 3, 10 through to 12. And as you have found it, let's have prayer together. Father and our God, it's beautiful to be in a worship service today, where we are free from persecution, where we are free to open the Bibles, where we have learned to read and can read and understand for ourselves. We are praying that your Spirit will move upon us now. Baptize us with the Holy Spirit. Empower us and embolden us to be living witnesses for you in 2018. May each of us here stand strong. May we determine by your grace to live out the life Christ has called us to. Please, Lord, help us to understand heaven more, to desire to be there. But on our way to heaven, help us to encourage someone else to take this journey with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through to 12. But the day of the Lord will come as a simile, as a like. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise. It's not going to be a secret rapture. I like the noisiness of Scripture. Amen. It says the heavens going to pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Verse 11. Therefore, by the way, I want you to catch what it says. The day of the Lord. Let's go back to verse 10. It says the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Therefore, if I as a preacher or any other preacher give you a date for Christ's coming, you can know it's not biblical. Because it says it comes as a thief in the night. Have you ever known any thief that announced to you when they're going to come to break in your home? No, they don't. They come with stealth. They come real secretly and quietly. And it says there, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise. Absolutely nothing secret about that. It will pass away with great noise. Also, the elements will melt with fervent heat. And many of you did science in school and you did your table of elements, right? Your chart, and you learn about iron and the different codes for them and copper and all that stuff. Well, there are elements there in the heavens as well. There are elements out there. We actually learn about the different spheres, the different levels, the ionosphere and stratosphere and all these different ones. The elements, it says, will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. You know, the International Space Station orbits about 250 miles above the earth. And, you know, there are numerous other satellites competing to dominate the skies. But they will be destroyed with a great noise on God's retributive judgment day. Judgment day is coming. But we are already in the great investigative judgment day. I want us to always bear these things in mind. God's judgment is in progress according to Daniel 8 and verse 14. And when Christ returns, it's just yet another phase in the judgment process. Amen? Amen. We are in those times. Verse 11, it tells us in 2 Peter 3, 11. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, What manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? And that is actually a rhetorical question. What manner of person ought we to be? We are to live in a manner of holy conduct, a manner of godliness. That is living the life of radical biblical godliness. That's what God has called us to. Brothers and sisters, the truth is, now is the only time we have to live for God. Amen? You cannot live for God yesterday. Yesterday is in the tomb. You cannot live for God tomorrow. Tomorrow is in the womb. It's not yet born. All we have to do is to live today. Amen? Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow is not promised, but praise be to God, we have today. So now is the time to live for God. Now is the time to be righteous. So verse 12, let us be looking for, now you realize that I am not a heretic, amen? Let us be looking for and hasten the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Amen. It tells us in both verses 10 and 12 that both the heavens and the earth and all that is in them will melt with fervent heat. But I don't want you to miss the main point I'm saying in this text. It starts out in verse 12 by saying, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God. Did you catch that? There is something for the believer to do to hasten the coming of the day of God. Peter says so. And by the way, Peter had the privilege to walk in company with Jesus right here on earth. Amen? And he wrote down for us that we should look for and we should also hasten the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. You know, an early experiment I did was to add salt to water and vigorously stir it. You know what happened then? I did that as a child. You know what happened? The salt dissolved. Amen? And in Jamaica, we have plenty of cane sugar. And I have done the similar experience by adding sugar to the water and vigorously stir it. And after a while, you know what happens? The sugar disappears. It dissolves. Amen? Well, in a similar way, Peter says the heavens are also going to dissolve and disappear. And all the fancy things on earth that offer us Oscars and worldly fame, wealth and recognition, they will all dissolve and disappear. Amen? What should we do then? Peter says that we should look for and hasten the coming of the day of God. A time is coming on earth when none of these petty things of life will matter anymore. Relationships won't matter anymore. Houses and cars and lands and clothes and fancy this and fancy that will not matter anymore, because we will be faced with the judgment of God and we'll have to answer for ourselves. Time on earth is running out. The question is, are you ready to meet God? Are you ready to meet Jesus in peace? You know, with Peter's authoritative counsel and warning in mind, I want you to think about today's sermon title and what God wants you to grasp. My sermon title is Spiritual Gifts, Going Out, Going Home. Amen? In the Seventh-day Adventist Church, we have identified how many fundamental beliefs? How many? 28. Somebody got it. I heard it. 28. Now, who can tell me what the 28 fundamental beliefs are? You didn't know you were going to face a test on church on Sabbath. 28 fundamental beliefs. What's number one?
Obey God.
Not quite, but that's a good thing to do. We need to obey God. Amen. The first fundamental belief in the Seventh-day Adventist Church is the Holy Scriptures. We believe that the Bible is the Word of God. Amen? Amen? The Holy Scriptures. What's number two? I don't quite like the word Trinity, but that's what number two is. I just simply say the Godhead because I can find that one in the Bible. I like Godhead more than Trinity. But the Trinity is our second fundamental belief. That's number two. And then the next three, you break down the Trinity and you get the next three doctrines, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen? And you get down to there. And after that, so that's what we call the doctrine of God. Followed is the doctrine of men, and there are two doctrines of men. You know what they are? One is, who can tell me what it is? Creation. And the second one is the nature of man. What kind of nature do you have, Gary? What kind of nature do we have? A sinful nature. I heard a carnal nature. Excellent. What was the other answer here? An immoral nature. That's what we have naturally. We need the grace of God to make the difference in our lives. So you have the doctrine of God, you have the doctrine of man, and then the third category is the doctrine of salvation. Amen? And under that you have what? The great controversy. That's a doctrine, you know. Yes, the great controversy. What else? The life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen? What else? A lot of doctrine. That one come later on, but the Sabbath is a doctrine. The law is a doctrine. And so you have these 28 fundamental beliefs. And they are important because, you know what's funny? How many of you were baptized into the Seventh Adventist Church? Stick your hands up. All right, I see some hands. That means you didn't quite understand what happened when you were baptized then, which is one of the part about the baptismal vow. I'm a little bit concerned about myself because it says, knowing and understanding the 28 fundamental beliefs. Do you really know and understand them? No. It's actually a faith statement, so I like to tell the people when I'm baptizing them, it's a statement of faith because you really don't know and understand all 28. That's the truth. It takes time. See, I'm testing the class and we don't even know what the 28 are. But yet, when we were getting baptized, we say, knowing and understanding the 28 fundamental beliefs, we pledge to do so and so. Knowing and understand. That is it. We're willing. That's why I call it a faith statement. It's a willingness. We are willing, and it's true. These 28 fundamental beliefs, they are hardcore biblical. They are supported. They're identified throughout the scriptures. They are for real. And so I encourage each person, take some time to familiarize yourself with the church to which you belong and these 28 fundamental beliefs. They are essential. Well, fundamental belief number 17 is the one we're talking about today. Spiritual gifts and ministries. Amen? That's a fundamental belief. And so you are called to carefully study, prayerfully consider, and take thoughtful actions. When Christ was coronated as high priest in heaven's sanctuary, some 50 days after his crucifixion, something special happened. The third member of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, took over the church on earth. So in this morning, this very morning that we are present in the Elmira Seventh-day Adventist Church sanctuary, right now the Holy Spirit is in this room. The third power of the Godhead is right here with us today. Amen? And so he is the one that quickens. He is the one that enlivens. He is the one that energizes us for the kingdom's sake. He is the one that transforms our lives. He is the one that gives to us spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit is present in this room. And so we can quietly, prayerfully, ask the Holy Spirit to take over and transform us one more time. We can do that today. Amen? He is in this room. Acts chapter 1. Let's go to the book of Acts. Chapter 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Chapter 1. And we'll see what the Word of God says here in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through to 4. Remember, we are talking about spiritual gifts. Going out, going home. Acts 1, 1 through to 4. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days. So earlier I told you 50 days after his crucifixion, he was inaugurated, coronated in heaven as high priest in the sanctuary there. Well, here's 40 of those days. See, I'm not a heretic. I'm not preaching to you anything that is not biblical. And I charge you as a congregation to hold every preacher to the word of God. Amen? You want to always do that. Hold the preacher to the word of God, because too many preachers are getting away with too many things that are not in the Bible. Amen? We want to make sure our faith is built on the word of God, because deception is real and the devil comes as preachers too. The devil comes to church. And so we want to make sure that what we are learning is indeed the word of God. Amen? So it says, Jesus showed himself to his apostles for 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And by the way, Pentecost was always 50 days after Passover. That's a fact. The term Pente is Greek. 50, Pentecost. 50 days after Passover was Pentecost. And verse 4 says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard of me. And notice that P for promise is capitalized, because that promise is not just a statement of fact. That promise is the Holy Spirit himself. Amen? Yes, my friends. So when we get into chapter 2, it tells us now what happened. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues. Ever wonder why divided? Leviticus 11, Deuteronomy 14. Animals that God allows human beings to eat must do two things. One is to chew the cud. What was the second thing? It had to divide the hoof, split hoof. The two qualifications of land animals that can be eaten. They must chew the cud and they must divide the hoof. So this idea of divided tongues is an idea of cleanness. As a matter of fact, it goes beyond. It's an idea of multiplied tongues, multiplied languages. Amen? And so then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. Fire, fire. Go back to Isaiah, fire, a live coal under the tongue, a live coal in the mouth. Fire, a cleansing agency. Divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, between 1900 and 1902, there was a movement that got started in Southern California. Today we call it Pentecostalism. That's not the kind of spirit I'm talking about. Because I must tell you, to a large extent, that which is manifested in Pentecostalism is not biblical. What they are speaking most of the times is gibberish. But that what happened on the day of Pentecost in the Bible was God gave actual, literal, new language skills to his disciples. So they who were born in Brockton, New York, they who were born in Elmira, New York, and Horseheads, and these environs, those who were born in the American South and moved northward, they who spoke only English could now speak fluent French and fluent Russian and fluent German. And by the way, I'm fluent in Jamaican. Amen, amen. Yes, they got real languages so they could communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ more effectively. Well, I'm going to read it for you from Acts of the Apostles, page 39, written by one, Ellen White. Anybody heard that name before on these corners? Amen. I have witnesses inside the house. Acts of the Apostles, page 39. See, the Jews, because of their breaking their covenant with God, were scattered throughout the world. And over time, they have adopted various languages because they lived in these various parts of the world. Well, on the day of Pentecost, there were Jews from clear around the world that came back to Jerusalem for a religious festival. And it was at this time that the Holy Spirit came and baptized the disciples with power. Now, this is what Prophetess Ellen White had to say. Many Jews were on this occasion in Jerusalem attending the religious festivals then in progress. Every known tongue was represented by those assembled. It was kind of like a United Nations. By those assembled. This diversity of languages would have been a great hindrance to the proclamation of the gospel. God, therefore, in a miraculous manner, supplied the deficiency of the apostles. The Holy Spirit did for them that which they could not have accomplished for themselves in a lifetime. Amen? I tell you, I entered theology school in 1999. I did 4 years of undergrad and I studied both Greek and Hebrew. I went to the seminary for another 3 years. That's 7 years. I studied more Greek and Hebrew. And still today, I am neither fluent in Greek nor Hebrew. That's 7 years of learning. And I'm still not fluent in those languages. I understand enough to interpret the scriptures. But I still am not fluent in those languages. Amen? And it says what the Spirit did for them at Pentecost, they could not have accomplished in a lifetime. How many of you speak multiple languages? How many of you here? Like I told you, I speak two. I speak English and I speak Jamaican. Amen? I'm fluent in two. What else? Chad, you speak Spanish fluently. Very good. Amen. Any of you want to try to learn Cantonese? Huh? How about Russian? Any of you want to learn to speak Russian? And I mention those because those are tougher languages to learn. But the Holy Spirit moved in a moment, and these disciples were endowed with language, linguistic skills that they could now speak fluent Russian, German, Italian, name it, they could speak it. Fluency. The Holy Spirit did for them that which they could not have accomplished for themselves in a lifetime. I'm not done yet. Here's another part of the quote. From this time forth, the language of the disciples was pure, simple, and accurate, whether they spoke in their native tongue or in a foreign language. Amen. Well, I want to ask the church today then, why aren't we praying more for the Holy Spirit? Are we satisfied with our current way of life? Ephesians chapter 4, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, Galatians, you know, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, and we go to Ephesians chapter 4, and we see what God's word says here. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 7, Ephesians 4 and verse 7. Kaylee, thank you for doing scripture reading for us. Ephesians 4 verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Amen? To each of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive. What does that mean? And gave gifts to men. He led captivity captive. Gary, Beecher.
He
gave
the gift of tongues, and he also gave the gift to heal.
Yeah, that's the part about gave gifts to men, but I'm talking about he led captivity captive. What was that? He led captivity captive. What is that? Well, it's not that hard to understand. I've told it before, but I will remind you. In Matthew chapter 27, if you start at about verse 51, and come on down through that portion there, you will see where after his, well, at his crucifixion, there was a mighty earthquake. You remember? Yes. And then at his resurrection, when he got up, it says many of the saints that slept, that were dead, arose and went into the city, that's Jerusalem, and appeared unto many. A resurrection. What became of those people who were resurrected? What became of them? I told you before and I'll tell you again. Go to the book Desire of Ages. And I think it's about 834. Page 834. Look at that section where Ellen White talks about the first fruit from the dead. Those who were resurrected in Matthew 27 are these here in Ephesians 8. They were held for however long captive by death. Jesus liberated these captives and he took them back with him to heaven as trophies, as first fruit of the resurrection. They were his wave sheaf. There were people who were dead by the time Christ came to walk on this earth as a human being that he resurrected at his resurrection. And when he ascended to heaven, he took them back as trophies from the resurrection. It's for real. So these are the captives that he led as he ascended on high. He led these captives. There are no his captives, which is freedom. Sometimes it looks like the law of God gets into our way, doesn't it? But the law doesn't get in our way. We get in the law's way. It's the other way around. And people outside look and say, these Seventh-day Adventists are under bondage to law. Well, I flip that on its back and I say, they're under bondage to sin. Because sin, whoever is not keeping God's law is living in sin. Because sin is a transgression of God's law. Now, do you feel like a captive as a law keeper in the Seventh-day Adventist Church? Do you feel like a captive? Do you feel like you're a prisoner? I tell you, I actually found freedom in Christ. Real freedom. Real freedom comes in Jesus Christ. Amen? So Jesus led captivity captive, and also it says he gave gifts to men and gave gifts to men. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Are your spiritual gifts listed in that list? When you check yourself, are your spiritual gifts listed there? Apostles. Who can be apostles? Are you an apostle? And Acts chapter 1, if you go down to like verses 21, 22 on down there, it tells us a little bit, you know, one of the apostles apostatized. He backslid and went away from the calling. You remember who was that? Judas Iscariot. Verse 21 of Acts 1 says, therefore, of these men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John to that day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. So in that particular group of apostles, only one who was from the beginning with Christ to the day he ascended to heaven could fulfill that role when they wanted to replace Judas Iscariot. And they had two names that were submitted to the committee, right? Matthias, Barsabbas, they were ones that were nominated, yes? And they proposed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus and Matthias. And they prayed and said, you, O Lord, are the one who choose. And they went through that, you know, to see who the Lord would take. And it says, and they cast their lots, and the lot fell on Matthias. So Matthias replaced Judas Iscariot. Apostles, are you an apostle? Are you one sent forth by God to bear his signet? And an apostle today wouldn't be an apostle in the sense of the 12. But the gift is still alive. We were sent out as ambassadors for Christ. And in the next on the list was prophets. Who can be prophets? And you know, we have a we had one in Northern California, and recently I heard there's one here in the East Coast too, a new prophet in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. We got to try them and see if they're for real. Because many imposters are coming saying they're prophets. Got to try them. Who can be prophets? Evangelists is another spiritual gift listed there. Who can be evangelists? Pastors is another gift listed there. Same as shepherd is the actually more accurate term. Who can be pastors? Who can be shepherds? Teachers. Who can be teachers? And so these are the ones listed in this group right here, this spiritual list. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. When Peter and the other disciples were baptized by the Holy Spirit, they immediately sprung into action. They no longer desired to be first. No longer were they in hiding. They declared Jesus to friends and foes alike. They were on fire for God. Amen. When we go to Acts chapter 2, if we start in verse 14, it says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only 9 a.m. Men don't get drunk that early in our culture back here in Jerusalem. Not at 9 a.m. They are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day, 9 a.m. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And he went on to quote Joel. The fire baptism by the Holy Spirit is quite unlike anything this world has seen. But I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit's baptism is not fanaticism. And personally, I have little patience for fanatics. There are many people who name the name of Christ or claim the name of Christ, but they are nothing but fanatics. And they have always been around. They run off on this tangent and run off on this. You have liberal fanatics and you have conservative fanatics. But I want to be a Bible believer standing with the Word of God. Amen? We don't need to be fanatics. So it's quite unlike. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not fanaticism, but yet it is quite unlike anything the world has seen. Yes, my friends, the baptism of the Holy Spirit does not jive well with the worldly lifestyle. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is peculiar. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is in contradistinction to selfishness. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is demonstrated in self-sacrificing love. It leads to a selfless life. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. When you are baptized by the Holy Spirit, no one will have to urge you to share your faith. Have you thought about that? When you're on fire for God, no one will have to urge you to share your faith. Other members may call you up to partner with you in ministry, in which you get to use your unique cluster of spiritual gifts to evangelize. Amen? Proper use of your spiritual gifts will cause you to step out of your comfort zone and into the soul-winning mission. Spiritual gifts. Going out, going home. Remember, without holiness, no one can see God's face in peace. Amen? And the Holy Spirit is the one that gives holiness. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12 and look at verse 14. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. What does God's word say? Hebrews 12, 14. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. The Holy Spirit himself makes us holy and gives us power for Christian living and Christian witness. It is absolutely important to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. My question then to you is, are you praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And if so, how seriously are you praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit? I go back to the book Acts of the Apostles by Ellen White, page 50, and this is what she says. Since this, that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, since this is the means by which we are to receive power, why do we not hunger and thirst for the gift of the Spirit? Why do we not talk of this gift? Why do we not pray for it and preach concerning it? The Lord is more willing to give the Holy Spirit to those who serve him than parents are to give good gifts to their children. For the daily baptism of the Spirit, every worker should offer his petition to God. Amen? Companies of Christian workers should gather to ask for special help, for heavenly wisdom, that they may know how to plan and execute wisely. Companies of Christian workers especially should they pray that God will baptize his chosen ambassadors in mission fields with a rich measure of his Spirit. The presence of the Spirit with God's workers will give the proclamation of truth a power that not all the honor or glory of the world could give. Amen? We are in the end of this world's history. And we are in the end of our sermon today too. The question is, what will you leave these sacred halls with today? Matthew chapter 18. Jesus himself said this. Let's go there. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 rather. Matthew chapter 28. Let's see what Jesus says. What should we take away? Learning about our spiritual gifts and going out and going home. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And then he says, go. I want to ask you the question today. Who is Jesus telling to go? Every one of you who set a pair of eyes on this passage, or even a single eye, or you hear it, every one of us to whom this message comes is the message of Jesus. Go. And so, you have to know your spiritual gifts. And Jesus says, go and use them. And how should we use them? He says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. And I've told you time and again, and I will tell you today, the word for nations is ethnos. From where we get our modern term, ethnicity. Jesus says, go and make disciples of every ethnicity. Amen? And the gospel moved from Jerusalem. It went to Samaria, like Jesus said. It went to Syria. Antioch, Syria became the headquarters of the Christian church back then. Ethiopia was the first nation to declare itself Christian. Armenia contends that we were the first. But these two nations contend for the first nations to declare themselves Christian in the history of this world. Ethiopia and Armenia. And the gospel went to Europe. The gospel went to the different lands of the world. And the gospel has come to America too. Amen? Amen. And praise God, this land has sent missionaries to so many other parts of the world. Amen? Now the missionaries are coming back. Amen. It says here, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Even to the end of the age. So Jesus says that we should go. We should teach. We should baptize. And we should continue to teach. Otherwise, we wouldn't need to be here today. Amen. But he says, we go, we teach, we make disciples, and we continue to teach. And so for any of us to believe that we need to learn nothing more, we're missing the mark. Because Jesus says, go teach, baptize, teach. Now, when you leave here today, what could you say you've made up your mind to do? What is your resolve? When you learn that the spiritual gifts are determined to bring us into the unity of the faith until we come to the full measure of the stature that is in Christ, to make us complete, to make disciples of Christ, what will you do going from here today? Spiritual gifts are given to us so that we may go out and we ourselves get ready, as well as getting others ready to go home. And the more you and I delay our going out, the more you and I delay Christ's coming. It says we should look for and hasten the coming of the day of the Lord. We should look for and hasten that. And we hasten Christ's coming by fulfilling Matthew 24:14 in preaching the gospel in all the world. Didn't say we were going to convert everybody, but it did say we should preach to everybody. Mark 16 tells us to preach the gospel to every creature. As long as the person is a human being, preach the gospel to that person, every creature. Amen? So when you go from here today, the question is, what are you going to do? Are you going to share your faith? You thought that you were in your workplace just to make a salary and earn a living? You got it wrong if that's the only belief. God placed you in your workplace to be a witness. And I know in America land, in the secular world, they are hard on the spread of Christianity. You can spread Islam and all the other religions in the workplace and no problem. But if you spread Jesus, then it becomes a problem. I say to you, be wise as a serpent and be harmless as a dove. And find ways to share your faith in your workplace. Find ways to share your faith in your school. Find ways to share your faith wherever you go. Amen. We need to preach Jesus Christ. We need to bring him with us wherever we go. We need to be in partnership with him. And to help other men and women, boys and girls, to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. One final question for you. If Christ were to come today, could you say, I have used my spiritual gifts the way you wanted me to? And would you be ready to go home to live with God? Spiritual gifts. Going out. Going home. The reason I'm a pastor is not because I chose to, but it's because God called me to. I didn't want to be a pastor. Never dreamed, never imagined. It was furthest from my mind. I wanted to be an aeronautical engineer. That's what I wanted to do. But God had other plans. And so I'm using my spiritual gifts for even full-time work. We can't all do the same exact thing. And we can't all be pastors, but we can all be ministers. Amen? We can minister in the different spheres of influence that God has given us. And so, let us, rather than gossip bad news and bad things, let us gossip the gospel, amen? Let us tell of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us tell of what he's done in our lives. And let us tell that he is mighty to save. Jesus really loves us. And he wants us to reach out to others. Amen. Father and our God, we thank you so much for being God over us. And we thank you for accepting us as children into the family of the beloved. Lord, help us to remember that as the church on earth, we belong to the church of the firstborn above. Help us to remember that you've given to each of us clusters of spiritual gifts, and you've sent us to go and make disciples of all ethnicities, teaching them, Lord, and baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that you've taught us, Jesus. So help us then to be diligent disciples of yours. And help us, Father, to go out and to get ready and to get others ready to go on. As we leave this place today, may it be our grace-filled pledge that we will walk with you, Jesus, and only lead others in the same path to walk with you as well. Thank you for hearing from heaven. And thank you for answering our prayer. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.